The title of my sermon or message today is A Life of Beauty and Goodness, and it's based on a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So a life of beauty and goodness. As I read this passage, I'm reminded of a conversation, or many conversations, that I have with my 80-year-old buddy, Jerry. Jerry's a bit of a film buff. He maintains on his computer a list of every song that was sung in a popular movie, who sang it, when it was sung, and if it was on Broadway, who sang it on Broadway and in what play. Jerry recently moved to his hometown in Ohio to be close to family and friends. As he's getting into his later years, he wanted to be near them. But we still talk on a regular basis by phone. And I can always count in our conversations that at some point during our discussion, Jerry will say, "Guess who died?" If I don't immediately know the answer, he'll prod me with questions. Questions like, "She was married to John Astin. She won an Academy Award for her role in the Helen Keller story. She had a TV show about identical twins." Oh, I, of course, will then say, "Oh, yeah, Patty Duke, that's right. She passed away." And the rest of our conversation will circle around her life, her achievements, her faults, her failures. It's amazing what you can remember about other people. And it starts to get you to wonder how you will be remembered. In our text, we read about a great miracle and a pivotal point in the growth of the church. But we also read about the death of Dorcas. The author of Acts tells us that she was always doing good and helping the poor. And her friends and loved ones had gathered in Joppa to remember her, crying and showing off the fine robes and clothing that she had made. Apparently, Dorcas had lived a life of beauty and goodness, and her friends were telling everyone how she had affected their lives. There's a quote often attributed to Maya Angelou, though it probably didn't originate with her. And it goes something like this: "They may forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel." That quote haunts me. The nature of my work, I'm an IT tech support person, often brings me into situations that are tense. Computers malfunctioning, printers not printing, the World Wide Web getting all tangled. As a result, my presence in a classroom or in an office is a sign of a problem. The expressions on the people's faces when I enter the office reflects how I made them feel last time I was there. Their expressions show how I made them feel. The prophet Micah has some good advice in this context. In Micah 6:8, he writes, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." I remember seeing a letter of recommendation that a principal had written for one of the teachers in my school district. I was struck by a phrase that the writer used. It went, "When situations arise, Miss Smith," not her real name, "is always a part of the solution and never a part of the problem." What a great way to be remembered. It's only natural when thinking about others or reminiscing about those who have died that our conversations develop a tone. Some people we remember fondly. We delight in how kind they were or how funny they were, or if they were good-looking or talented. Others, if they didn't strike our fancy, might make us groan or wince. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. When I cause people to wince, I have to wonder how well I'm following that command. Dorcas, on the other hand, must have loved well. She made people remember her fondly. We don't know much about Dorcas, but Scripture has a richness in its brevity. We're told that Dorcas is this woman's name in Greek. Tabitha is her Jewish or Aramaic name. She was a disciple of Christ. And we read that Tabitha was always doing good and helping the poor. The image that the author paints in our mind is enhanced when we discover the meaning of her name. Tabitha and Dorcas means gazelle. A gazelle is in the antelope family. Gazelles are small and swift. And if you've ever seen a video of a gazelle, they leap into the air and then they hit the ground running. My image of Tabitha is of a woman of great energy. She gathers her weavings and she dashes off to the market to sell her wares. She's someone who prepares the meals for her family and then runs to her sick neighbor's house to bring them food and maybe a gift. And then she hurries home to continue sewing her garments so that she can go back to the market the next day. We all know people like that, non-stop energy. But Tabitha fell sick and died. This energetic disciple is suddenly motionless. No smile, no laughter. Her weaver's loom is still and silent. Her thread bobbin is not spinning anymore. And her friends are mourning her death. So what do we do when a loved one dies? We reach out in faith for answers, and we call the pastor. The passage tells us that Peter was in Lydda. That's about 10 or 12 miles away from Joppa. And it's possible that his healing ministry, the news of his healing ministry, may have made it to Joppa. So they sent for Peter. We're not given all the details of what Peter said during his visit. We don't even know everything he did. Often mourners expect pastors to say the magic words that'll make everything right. We long to hear a eulogy that will honor the deceased, recall memories of happier times, and in some way give us back the one we lost. Through tears and sometimes laughter, friends and family rebuild that memory, that life from memory. Often new information is shared during the grieving process. Mourners write letters. Friends travel long distances to recall those memories of times gone by. In my own experience, sorting through old papers and photos when each of my parents died actually expanded my memories of them. In a way, there was a new person forming in my heart that started to fill the gap that had been put there when they died. Clearly, though, something special happened in Joppa. The scriptures tell us that Peter chased everyone out of the room. Mm-hmm. Then, in prayer, Peter turned to the body, and Tabitha opened her eyes, and he helped her up. Mm-hmm. There's no question that something unusual, something beyond simple explanations, occurred in that room. And the word of that event spread throughout Joppa. But explaining miracles is beyond the scope of this sermon. Mm-hmm. There is one detail, however, that we should not overlook. Mm-hmm. In verse 41, we read that Peter called the friends and family back into the room, mm-hmm. and he showed her to be alive. Mm-hmm. How does one restore a once dead person mm-hmm. to their family, to their community? After Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and had to prove he was alive. Mm-hmm. He had to show them the wounds. He had to eat some fish. Mm-hmm. One might wonder how Tabitha experienced the event. Do you think she was aware of the gentle way the widows had treated her when they washed her body and wrapped her in the burial clothes? Mm. Did she thank everyone for the kind words? Did she even know what was said in the eulogies? Mm. We don't really know exactly how long she was dead. Mm. Joppa wasn't Lydda wasn't far away, but we don't know how long it was before he got there. Mm. Keep in mind, Tabitha was resuscitated, not resurrected. Mm-hmm. No glorified body yet. Mm-hmm. Did the smell of death linger? Mm-hmm. We also don't know how the remainder of Tabitha's life played out on earth. Mm-hmm. Was she in some way different? Mm-hmm. I imagine a more pensive woman, someone who treasured every person she encountered and every moment of life that she was given. Others might envision Tabitha with even greater zeal than she had previously, seeking the most out of life. Do you think Tabitha thought about how others remembered her? What difference does it make how others remember you or me? Are we supposed to be perfect? Do we think Tabitha's beauty had no blemishes? That her goodness had no flaws? Probably not. I'm sure she was a lot like you and I. But Tabitha's life, her first and you might call it second life, led people to Jesus. In the first sentence of the passage we read, or I read, she's described as a disciple. It was her faith that was the primary cause for her hearing, our hearing, about the beauty and goodness in her life. The story of Tabitha's death is justifiably overshadowed by the miracle of her being raised. But in those brief details, we're given a glimpse into the life of a believer, a life fondly remembered by others, a life of beauty and goodness that may cause you or I to wonder how we'll be remembered. Amen.